This is Border Crossings, radio's number one request hour. And now, your host, Larry London.
Hi there. Welcome to Border Crossings. Welcome to a Monday and the start of another week. We have a live guest in our studios. JP Sachs is here, and we're going to be talking about his new album, his music, his tour. It's all coming up, so hang around. JP Sachs joins us on Border Crossings.
Cities home, looking for the parts of me you didn't get to know, and I know myself a little more the more I let you go. I've been calling different cities home, but only on the days my hands are cold. 'Cause I fell for you that morning in the snow, and here in California you're not on my mind much more. Only on the days my hands are cold, you like to tell me I changed. Nobody really stays the same. You like to tell me I changed. Like anybody really stays the same. You know me better than I wish you did. You're a bigger part of me than I admit. And I hate that my whole family's gotta ask me how you've been. You know me better than I wish you did. You like to tell me I changed. Nobody really stays the same. You like to tell me I changed. Like anybody really stays the same.
Oh,
London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings. In our studios today and on tour for some new music, we'd like to welcome singer-songwriter J.P. Sachs, who joins us here on The Voice of America, and this is the third generation to be on VOA?
Yeah. My mom and my grandfather have both been on some VOA show.
Wow.
The first in English, though. Both of them had shows in Hungarian.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was excited when my mom told me that.
And so what kind of music do they do? I think I read somewhere where there's cello in your family.
Yeah. So my grandfather was a cellist, a really phenomenal, inspiring cellist who was the first cellist of the Chicago Symphony for a long time and then toured the world soloing and made countless albums, won a Grammy. Mm-hmm. He's my hero. And then my mom was on the show when she worked for the State Department, again in Hungarian.
But not singing, not music.
Not singing.
Okay.
My mom had worked for 2 years at a refugee camp in the Philippines and was talking about the integration of refugees into the States after the Vietnam War.
Wow.
So I'm talking about something far less important.
Well, no, everything's important on The Voice of America. It just depends on which room you're in at the time.
Right.
In what language you're talking. But everything's important here. And we're talking today about something important to J.P. Sachs, which is music.
Music and telling the truth in songs.
Telling the truth in songs.
Mm-hmm.
The truth itself is pretty hard to find these days and of itself.
Maybe not an objective truth, but more of just the truth about what it's like to be a human. And I can only speak on one particular human, which is obviously myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get as much of myself and the honest, intimate experience of different things that have happened in my life into this music.
Mm-hmm. And you come from, well, you were born here, I guess.
I was born in D.C.
But yeah. You spent most of your life in Toronto, Canada.
I think we moved to Toronto when I was a few months old.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up there. I moved to Los Angeles at 19. So.
So the truth from the Canadian perspective, is it different than the truth from the American perspective?
I think there, being in D.C., I think there is certainly one objective truth. But
because you have so many other influences and so many other things to think about. Governments are different. Laws are different.
I'm grateful to have grown up in a city and a country that I feel very closely reflects my values as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Well stated.
Thank you.
Well stated. So how long have you been in this music business?
Since I was a kid, really. I had my first gig when I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. I played every Sunday at a brunch at a bar in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown since then to, being 25 years old and getting to do this full time and just being beyond grateful that this gets to be my job.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure with the last name Sachs, I wouldn't be the first person to ask.
You certainly would not.
No.
I tried for like a couple weeks,
but
it wasn't for me.
No, it wasn't for you. So you picked up the guitar, and you've been writing songs and recording your own stuff. This is all original material?
All original music, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
And so you've released a number of songs to this point, and they've done very well. I read millions and millions of streams, Spotify, you know, you're an internet sensation, and you've got music that was featured in, if I'm not mistaken, a film or a TV show?
Yeah, we were on a CW show called All American recently. The first song I'll play for you was on that show, and that's the song that's done, I think we crossed like 20 million streams on Spotify on that song recently, which is just surreal.
Hmm. Well, I was looking at your picture.
Uh-huh.
And the picture of you from your press release, I don't know if this is on a CD cover, you're doing this. What was the significance of, is there any
just trying to be artsy.
Artsy, okay. I just didn't know if you had a kink in your neck that day or something was going on.
All is well.
All right, J.P. Sachs, would you do a song for us?
Of course
we'd love to hear some live music. And you come to us via what? What's going on right now? Did you play in D.C.?
Finished a tour.
Just finished the tour?
The last show was in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And how was it?
Loved it.
I love
playing here. It's like a pseudo hometown show.
Mm-hmm. That's great. All right. Well, we'll check you out right now. What's this called?
This song is called The Few Things.
A Few Things.
It's a love song. The Few Things.
The Few Things. Mm-hmm. J.P. Sachs.
Semantics. I don't say what's on my mind quite as much as you'd like me to. I've been hearing that my whole life, I promise it's not just you. But I so confidently want you that when you say you're insecure about my feelings, I don't take you serious. But if you need me to tell you more, you're one of the few things that I'm sure of.
You're one of the few things that I know already. I could build my world of one of the few things that I'm sure of. And I want you to unravel me. Come closer, come closer. Come closer, come closer. I don't say what's on my mind quite as much as you'd like me to. And often when I'm quiet, you worry I'm hiding from you. And I know I keep a lie to myself, but still you're more part of me than anybody else. So if you need me to tell you more, you're one of the few things that I'm sure of. You're one of the few things that I know already. I could build my world of one of the few things that I'm sure of. And I want you to unravel me. Come closer, come closer. And I want you to unravel me. I want you to unravel me. I don't say what's on my mind quite as much as you. Like me too, but I've been hearing that my whole life. I promise it's not just you. You're one of the few things that I'm sure of. You're one of the few things that I know already. I could build my world out.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
The few things.
Yep.
J.P. Sachs. What's the J.P. stand for?
Jonathan Percy.
All right. And when did you start? Was that a nickname you got when you were growing up? Or
no, it's been J.P. the whole time.
The whole time?
The whole time.
I like it. I like it. So you come from Toronto, Canada. There's a lot of great musicians are coming over from Canada now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
And this is a, you know, a nice time to be here in America making your mark.
Mm-hmm.
And do you live in Toronto still, or have
I live in Los Angeles.
No, so you moved here now. Mm-hmm. Okay. And as far as record deals, we were talking about that off air. You're mm-hmm. self-funded, you're self-produced, you even directed your own music video?
Yeah. I was very lucky that before I started my artist career, I was able to work as a songwriter with some other up-and-coming artists. And that, you know, that gave me sort of a look behind the curtain on what being a new artist means and what works and what doesn't. And I certainly think there's like a lot of value to the infrastructure of the music industry, like record labels. I don't think they're all evil. I think if you work with good people, you can create a good business, mm-hmm. like any company. I definitely think that's more likely to happen if you've established sort of what you want to do and what you believe in as an artist independently. So when you do partner with people, it's not a potential that isn't necessarily the one that you see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And we also, we're discussing, you feel that the the music industry is in a good place right now.
I really do, yeah. I think there's a lot of power in artists' hands right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll argue with sort of other, you know, friends of mine who are also independents, and who there's often this nostalgia for like the, oh, like you used to just get to be an artist and you didn't have to worry about the business of things. But I would much prefer having, you know, my creativity in being an artist kind of incorporate all of it. Because, like, yeah, there's a lot more a new artist has to do now, but that's because someone else doesn't have to do it for you, which I think is a good thing. I think that's empowering.
Mm. Years ago, it was just writing and singing, but now, as you mentioned, to direct a video, you have to have creative vision, you know, other than just sitting and strumming with a camera on you. You have to tell a story with pictures.
And there's so many ways to get to an audience that part of your creativity as an artist is figuring out how you are going to get to your audience, which I think is fun.
Yeah, the internet has opened up a lot of doors for a lot of different people.
Yeah, we got a lot of tools.
Yes. J.P. Sachs is with us. We're talking about his music, and I know Apple Music listed you as one of their best of the week at a point in time, and so that's kind of a big honor to have.
I had 1 week as the best.
Well, that's all it takes sometimes.
Good week.
It was a good week. You were the best.
I was the best.
So who are you inspired by? I mean, when you create your music, who are the people you're listening to or make you want to be the artist that you are?
I mean, musically, my grandfather is a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. His name is Janosch Starker, and although my music is in a different world than his, just kind of that commitment to integrity and subtlety and the values of who he was, and that commitment to, he used to talk about beauty and about how being a musician was a dedication to getting to the depths of beauty, which I think is beautifully poetic. I try and do that with the lyricism of what I do. I try and do that with the sonic worlds of what I'm making these records. And I mean, I'm inspired by the people around me. I'm really lucky to have a phenomenal community of other artists who I get to work with, who I get to look up to, who I get to push myself more because I'm seeing them do what they do.
Do you, as a songwriter, do you write songs for other people?
I have, yeah. I've done quite a bit of that.
And I often wonder, for a songwriter, how does that feel when you hear them sing what you hear in your head, but they may interpret it differently? Is that?
I think in some ways it's like writing a character. Like when I write for myself, I have never given a song to anyone else that was very much written for my own voice. Any song I've written for someone else has sort of been in imagining what they say. You know, like a novelist comes up with characters, a screenwriter, whatever it is, sort of enter their experience. I listen to their stories and I just songify them.
Right. I think that's such a hard job, is to write songs. I can't imagine myself writing anything. I mean, I'm not, you know, you start with poetry, you know, young people do tend to start with some poetry and then you add the melodies and you start to tell a story about things you've seen or lived.
I appreciate your recognition of the difficulty of it, but truthfully, it's one of the, I think it's about as easy as a job can be.
Really?
Because
you just shot my theory all out the window.
Not to say that it's easy to do, but it is definitely easy to have to do.
Right.
You know, like a songwriting session, you get to go hang out with people who were hopefully your friends. I mean, sure, it gets tedious every day to try and enter that creative space. But, you know, when it's working, to be able to sit in a room and just talk about your feelings and then turn that into something that makes you money is pretty magnificent.
Then when you talk about the business side of things and record companies, major record labels, there's tremendous pressure to write a hit.
Sure.
You can just write songs.
Yeah.
But they come to you and say, you got to write a hit.
But they don't know what a hit is.
Exactly.
No one knows what a hit is.
I was going to say, define that for me as a songwriter.
A hit is a song people like. And why do people like a song? It's, you know,
random.
All sorts of reasons.
Right.
You know, there's like a structure to like what makes a song, you know, what makes it catchy, sure. But
a good hook.
Hits are changing. There's songs that, especially now.
Yes. And it is interesting to watch the evolution of music where things become more countrified. Now things are more EDM-oriented. You know, there's guitar-oriented music. All of a sudden it goes away. It comes back. It's bands. It's no longer bands. It's kind of very interesting.
Yeah, when people ask me what kind of music I make, I say pop music, not in the sense that it sound in pop music because, not in the sense that it sounds like what is popular, but that I would like it to be popular.
Ah. Well, I think that's any artist's
I think it
goal,
is, too.
Really. You want to be... You want your music to be appreciated. It isn't so much you personally. It's you want your music to be loved.
Yeah, I mean, I want to make music that I will absolutely love, and then I want to find as much of an audience as exists for exactly the music I want to make.
Now, being 25, you're very young, so have you had to deal with writer's block?
Yes and no. I journal a lot. Journaling is a big part of my process. I kind of believe that, like, it's work to sort of show up every day to write. And I don't always write something good, but as long as I'm writing, if I don't let myself write something bad, I will never get to the good songs.
Mm-hmm.
Part of writing songs that I love is not thinking I'm worthless when I've just written 20 I hate.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just that internal conversation about insecurity and the value of what you're doing and just being able to output.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to face a writer's block where you just couldn't come up with something? And how did you get out of it? Or no, you haven't.
I've had periods of time where what I was writing wasn't as good as I would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then often I will get to, you know, maybe there's 2 weeks where I didn't write a single thing I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point in there, something that I thought was worthless ended up inspiring the idea that ended up being a song that I loved.
Mm-hmm. So if you've written so many songs, where's an album?
I'm trying to. As we said, the music industry is changing. I don't want to just put it out to nothingness. I want to give it the most support it possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. You have a plan, and that's something that a lot of people don't have, so that's good. JP Sachs is in our studios. Would you do another song for us?
Of course I will.
Tell me about this song.
When I introduce this song live, I usually say it's about friendship, but it is very critically not about friendship.
What's it about?
Friendship.
Say no, say no, I'm telling myself. But then I choose you over my mental health. Instead, I know the reasons, I know everything we said. But pull me closer as you tell me them again, yeah. You're looking less and less like a friend, friend. But wait, I'm scared, you're scared, but we're still going there. Lady, I'm not prepared to need you everywhere. I wish I wanted anybody else, but don't stop before I can't stop myself. I say that I want to control this, but deep down I hope that it's hopeless. So don't stop. I wish I wanted anybody else. Say no, say no, I'm not ready for this so soon. But maybe I don't know what ready really is with you. Hips on my fingertips, lips getting used to this. With your skin on my skin and your legs on my chest, you look less and less like a friend, friend. But wait, I'm scared, you're scared, but we're still going there. Lady, I'm not prepared to need you everywhere. I wish I wanted anybody else, but don't stop before I can't stop myself. I say that I won't control this, but deep down I hope that it's hopeless. So don't stop. I wish I wanted anybody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. JP Sachs, you have a very nice voice, a nice soothing, melodic voice. But I read that you're lyric obsessed.
Yes,
that's your thing, is lyric obsessed.
Like,
so when you write songs, mm-hmm. what comes to you first? The melody
words.
Or the words? The words always?
Almost 100% of the
time. Then how do you fit the melodies to match those words?
Usually words have a melody in my head. It's just the way we speak. I think everyone, like, we speak in a melodic way. There's certain emphasis mm-hmm. in certain parts of a phrase, and you just try and support that with a melody. And usually, like, there'll be a certain first step, there'll be a feeling to the experience I'm having. And the challenge with the words is matching what I feel when I read the words to what I felt like when I had the thing happen that I'm writing about.
Mm-hmm.
And then extending that, adding a melody to those words that feels like the original experience and the words. And then adding production that feels like the original mm-hmm. experience in the world. So it's all in the words. I'm stumbling over myself. Speaking of words. So it all kind of is rooted in that
mm-hmm.
original inspiration. And I think if I can keep that through the whole process from the original thought to the final master,
mm-hmm.
that's when if people hear the songs, it still will elicit the same kind of feeling that I initially had.
Where is the most unusual place you got inspiration for a song?
It's an exceptionally good segue into the song that I will end with. I know we'll maybe talk a little bit more, but
sure.
On my birthday last year, I went to Barcelona for my 25th birthday.
Nice.
And wrote a song about that experience, and I didn't expect it to happen like that.
Yeah, I always ask, you know, songwriters, do you get inspiration from places you visited? You know, you probably, as a songwriter, can be as simple as a meal you've had in another country, something unusual which inspired something to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, you never really know. It's as surprising and unexpected as life itself.
Mm. And you've partnered with, I think, Adidas on some campaign?
Oh, an artist that I collaborated with is a songwriter named Jacob Banks.
Uh-huh.
He had a song of his placed in an Adidas campaign.
Very nice.
That we had written together.
So the business has its standards for success. We know from the business mm-hmm. how to measure mm-hmm. success. You know, record sales.
Uh-huh.
Chart position. How does an independent artist, how does somebody who's coming up the ranks, and you've achieved a lot of great things already,
mm-hmm.
how do you measure success for JP Sachs?
My favorite, like, measurable statistic right now is how many people are getting married to that first song I played.
Oh, wow.
There's been a number of people propose at my shows
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
While I'm playing that song, which is just the coolest feeling in the world.
Yes.
There's been a number of people have that as their first dance. There's been a few people who've like engraved it on rings for engagement rings.
Wow.
Being integrated in other people's love like that.
Sure.
Is just, that's an iteration of success that mm-hmm. I didn't imagine for myself and is definitely as rewarding as any of them.
In another 15 years, you're going to find out how many people were conceived to your songs.
Yes.
JP Sachs is in our studios. So what is the time frame for your album?
Well, right now it's essentially done.
Okay.
I have a lot of the
'cause I'm seeing, I'm feeling there's something going on. You're not telling me. So I'm trying to dig to get an exclusive here. Just between you and I and the worldwide audience of 200 million.
I respect your hustle. I deeply respect it. I have a lot of songs that I care about so much,
uh-huh.
and I want to give them their best shot possible. So I'm right now looking at how those songs can come out in a way that is most likely to get them to those 200 million people and
right.
more.
And so also before we went on, we were talking about the fact that these TV music contest show is not really something you'd recommend. So if there is a musician listening right now, an aspiring musician, be it in America or internationally, because we're reaching 100 countries around
yeah.
the world, so people say, how do I get discovered? How do I make my mark? And you are a guy who's written some great stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you want to reach 200 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Why not the TV show route?
I understand the appeal, and I'm sure it's not, I think it can work for some people. The reason it didn't work for me is because it's allowing someone else really to tell your story for you, which is not something right off the jump.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think putting yourself into that kind of like machine
mm-hmm.
to be presented by them at the very beginning can come with its downsides. It's also the upsides of being seen by millions and millions of people very quickly, but I think there's also a lot of value to being seen by 10 people in a bar for a long time before you're seen by those millions of people, because if you don't really know how to speak to your audience
right.
of very few, it's hard to get to how to speak to an audience of millions. I mean, I certainly don't know how to do that yet, but I'm hoping by the time I get there, I will have figured it out.
Well, you are today.
I guess I hopefully figured it out.
So what's been the most memorable moment on tour for you? Since the tour is now over, what are you going to take away from this tour?
The most memorable moments are definitely couples getting engaged during the few
okay.
things. And also just the feeling of, because the songs are so personal,
mm-hmm.
You know, for a long time, I would have disagreements with other songwriters and just kind of the music industry generally about how specific of a songwriter I was,
mm-hmm.
telling me that I needed to be more broad if I wanted it to be relatable. But I always kind of rejected that because I think we don't apply that to movies, right? Like a movie about something you have never experienced can deeply move you. So why
mm-hmm.
can't that be in a song?
Mm-hmm.
So to have put such personal, specific elements of what it feels like to be me into these songs and then see people singing along
mm-hmm.
in places, in cities I've never even been to, has been really rewarding. And it just makes me feel connected to the world and to other people to see them feeling more connected to themselves with my music.
Well said. I like that. And I'm interested, you mentioned several times already about couples getting engaged or so together cool. at your shows.
Yeah.
You might think about this next tour you go on.
Uh-huh.
You got between now and the next tour to get ordained, because Kesha and L. King have gotten ordained and they've wed couples at their concerts.
Oof, that's more, I mean, that's more responsibility than I feel comfortable with.
We got to take it to the next level. I got engaged at the first show. Next tour, time to get wet.
I'm comfortable being a passive participant in people's love stories. I don't want to get that. That's too much for me.
All right, we're going to ask for one more song. We got enough time for another song.
Wonderful.
And this one is called?
25 in Barcelona.
All right.
I wrote it the day after my 25th birthday in Barcelona.
Well, happy birthday. Belated happy birthday.
Thank you. I thought you would have called yesterday. I said I didn't want you to, but I still thought you would. I don't know what I expected you to say, but I turned 25 and had in my mind you'd be part of that in some way. I'm halfway around the world with all these people, happy in a foreign language, but they don't know a thing about you. I'm halfway around the world in Barcelona, trying not to think you'd love this. This wasn't supposed to be about you. This wasn't supposed to be about you. I wonder how I crossed your mind. I'm sure I did, but I'm curious what the thought of me felt like. Was it harder than you imagined it would be? Because when I missed your 30th, it almost killed me. I'm halfway around the world with all these people, happy in a foreign language, but they don't know a thing about you. I'm halfway around the world in Barcelona, singing songs to you for strangers, and trying not to think about you. This wasn't supposed to be about you. This wasn't supposed to be about you. They don't know a thing about you. I'm halfway around the world in Barcelona, trying to feel my world expanding, like none of it was built around you. This wasn't supposed to be about you. This wasn't supposed to be about you. This wasn't supposed to be about you.
Hmm. 25 in Barcelona, J.P. Sachs.
Thank you so much.
You are getting, I'm sure you're going to go on another tour. And how about international touring? Is that a part of the plan?
Definitely the plan. Definitely the plan.
All right. And people can find you where if they want to check your schedule and your music out?
On Instagram at JP Sachs, or any social media at JPSAXE, and then at jpsachs.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I really
appreciate
it.
Love to have you back when you, put out the album.
Love to come talk to you again.
All right. Thank you, JP.
Thank you.
JP Sachs, our guest. This is Border Crossings on The Voice of America.